Well, hey, cousins, you were listening to Revolutionary Hood Rat with Kim Young, adult black social worker, and welcome back. I was off the mic last week because, well, I was on vacation. Absolutely. Yes, I was. But look, we're not even going to talk about that. Let's go ahead and jump into our revolutionary news for the week. It goes out to all the students of the global community that are out there fighting for liberation, sacrificing their bodies, their futures, their physical freedom for collective liberation. Know that, you know, the good people that see y'all for who you are, the power that you're utilizing, the power that you're standing within, we see you, we're with you, we're in full solidarity and supporting in the ways that we know how and the ways that we have been invited to do so. One of the primary ways that I will continue to support off the mic, on the mic, visible online or not visible online, is the amplification of the message, right? And the translation of the message to my generation and older generations who are just not getting it, not because they are not choosing to, because they just honestly don't understand. And so my old ass has a little bit of patience to take some time to explain. And so I'm going to continue to do my pieces to amplify the work that is happening and continue to hold on to what my mentor has shared with me that I hold till this day, which is never waste a good crisis. The globe is in a crisis right now. We know these windows, they come and go. We're currently in a crisis. When this one loses visibility, another one will pop up down the road. But while we have the visibility and while people are paying attention in ways they have not been paying attention before, this is not the time to waste a good crisis. So this is where really concrete organizing comes into play, because when you are ready, like when you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. And so shout out to all the liberation fighters who understand that concept of like, hey, we got a window of opportunity right now. What can we walk away with in this current moment of crisis that will be embedded within policies, fully funded, change practices, and even get people in new positions? And so shout out to those that are collectively fighting towards liberation. Most importantly, shout out to those babies, those young people across the globe here in the United States who are really putting all on the line. Like, I see y'all. I was y'all. I love y'all. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the guests that I have this week for Revolutionary Hood Rat. But of course, I got to introduce them. It's actually my homie, Rayshawn. We went to San Jose State University together, and I would have had no idea that those two black students at San Jose State would have ended up as licensed clinical social workers. But yet, here we are. Let me go ahead and formally introduce Ray, though. Ray is a licensed clinical social worker that was born and raised in San Francisco, California. I want to make sure that we shout out, you know, Bayview's Hunter Point. He want to make sure y'all put some respect on Hunter Point. He has over 15 years of experience in the social work field. And then he also experienced firsthand the realities of poverty, abuse, and social inequalities that plagued his community. And so motivated by his own trauma and burning passion for social justice, Rayshawn pursued a career in social work because he was determined to give back to his community and support those who, like him, had faced adversity. He earned his bachelor's degree from San Jose State University, Go Spartans, and his master's degree from California State University, East Bay. After earning his degrees, Rayshawn went on this journey of working with children and youth and families in the foster care and court systems of Alameda and San Mateo counties. In addition, he worked in HIV education and prevention and for a nonprofit in San Francisco and Oakland. And Ray currently works as a therapist in his local school district, providing individual and group therapy services to middle, elementary, and high school students. Ray believes in the power of healing through connection and is driven by the desire to be a supportive therapist he needed when he was a child. And so I'm going to go ahead and transition us into this conversation that was good for my homesick soul. Because if y'all have not picked up on it by now, or if I have not admitted openly, I miss home something terrible. I am missing California something terrible. And so I got to make sure that I get back home this year to, like I've said before, touch some sand, eat some Mexican food, vibe with my people. So, but this conversation really was good for my heart and good for my soul to be able to catch up with my old friend from undergrad. And I am hopeful that y'all are able to gain some gems, some treats, some laughs, some joy, some affirmation from the conversation with Rayshawn. Let's have fun. Let's have fun and let's catch up.
Let's do it.
Rayshawn.
Kim.
Oh, Ray. All right. I don't even know where to begin with our conversation. There's a lot of different things that I want to touch on, but I really want to make sure we have some time, number one, to catch up and be able to, I want to hear personally, like your story and journey that got you into the field of social work, because who would have thunk it that two students on the campus of San Jose State University, and I don't know about you, I didn't know, you can major in social work in undergrad.
I did sociology, so it's kind of, you know, but I did not know that I was going to end up being a therapist right now. So.
Listen, you and me both. So yeah. I certainly want to just kind of take some time and reminisce on those days at San Jose State University, because I've been replaying a couple of them in my head. I'm like, oh, shit, like I really was getting into some shit, good, bad, and otherwise San Jose. But then also learning the culture of the Bay, which I know you had to learn, too. Because, right, coming from a different part in the state and going to the Bay is a whole different experience. So when you think about just your time at San Jose State University, what kind of joy bubbles up for you? What memories bubble up for you?
Well, first, before I answer that question, I just got to put it on. I just have to say this really quickly. Like, how proud I am of you, Kim. And I'm smiling from ear to ear, because just seeing your face, just like, it brings me right back to San Jose State and like all the memories and the goodness of being in school and the college days and the work that we did together, the Mosaic. I know we're going to talk about that at some point.
We'll talk about
but
it.
But I'm so proud of you. Your light is just shining, and it's just a blessing to see you. And I love it. I love it. Your energy is just, I mean, educated, beautiful Black woman for the culture, for social work. Oh. You are so needed.
Thank you.
And I just have to put that out there that I'm so proud of you. And it's just a blessing to see you right now.
I receive that.
We got to receive your flowers. Let me just give them to you right now, because I see you. I see you on Instagram. I see you doing your thing. And I love it. And I see your light. And I just, it's inspiring to me. And I just thank you for allowing me to be on your space, in this space. To just chop it up with you. Okay. Yeah.
This is our space though, right? Like situation. It's an our space.
I love it.
And I receive everything that you just said, but I think what's really dope is you were somebody who knew me before all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so being able to offer that perspective, because I've been trying to tell you, so I'd have been the same. You're like, oh, this is just a new, no. Like, people who have been around me in the earlier iterations of this, I have been pretty consistent of being.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Very consistent. It's a blessing to see you. It's a blessing to see us on this side. You know, we all grown up now. I thought we was grown, you know, back at San Jose State, and I was nowhere near grown, but we grown now.
We big adults.
But to answer your question, sorry, what was the question you said?
But like, when you think about those days at San Jose State University, like what kind of joys or memories or even just things that kind of have held you from a decade plus ago that are still with you today during those days at San Jose State?
You know, just all the connections and friendships and, you know, experience that I made at San Jose State. Like, I literally grew up there. Like I was just saying, like, I felt like I was grown, but I really wasn't grown. And I grew up at San Jose State, you know, and the parties that we used to have, you know, the little hangout spots and just did the student union and like all those memories just kind of rushed to me and just they stick with me right here. And like I said, the relationships that I've built at San Jose State, you know, me being a Kappa and, you know, just friends and people, relationships that I built that I still have now, is just, it makes my heart smile. It's like, man, like I'm blessed to like know these people have had those experiences. I think about work, the Mosaic Center, and you know, I know we'll talk more about that, but just like that really just that working there, looking back now, it really changed my life, you know.
Same. I definitely want to talk about that.
Yeah. So that it just, man, I it's hard to answer that question because there's so many pieces to that, you know, but I think the most important is just like the people that I met that just still have an impact on my life. And just, you know, if I see somebody that I ain't seen in a minute, you know, it's like, damn, like those that rush of feelings just come back. That, you know, it's like, man, that energy that was at San Jose State during that time that we were on campus, it was like no other to me. It was like it was live. It was
It
lit.
was lit, and I,
It
we had to build something, because when you think about
was
this, the student demographic at San Jose State, or
lit.
hell, in San Jose in general,
In
even though
general,
it's
right?
considered to be a part of the Bay, it is not the part of the Bay that people often think of when they think of the
Right, not at all,
Bay.
right?
So,
Some people
and
argue a little bit about San
they
Jose.
like to argue all the time, and y'all could do whatever you want to say,
Right.
but
Right.
the 408 or 408 is definitely included in the
Right.
Bay
It definitely
Area.
is for
So
sure.
it is what it is. But like,
It
I just
is.
think about being a Black student on the campus of San Jose
Yeah.
State, and right,
Yeah.
like the network of other Black students that
Yep.
we really had to build and cultivate something, especially being Black students who weren't from the area. Like, that was a
Exactly.
whole different situation, like coming up there, trying to learn the culture of the Bay, the language of the Bay, the music of the Bay. I'm like, this is not anything that I grew up with.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious about my new environment and where I am. But then also, like, where the Black people at?
Where are we at, right? We had to build, like you said, we had to
Wait.
come together. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Where they at? And so the way we came able to find each other is through things like the Black Student Union, or just like finding events and activities to be able to plan and
Yep.
coordinate together, popping up at the little house parties, sitting in
Yep.
front of the commons, or just trying to figure
Yep.
out like
All
where
of that.
are the Black people to be
All of
able to
that.
build your network and build your community. And I think about folks like Milan, OG,
Yes.
the
OG.
OG of OG.
And he's still at it, doing it, you know. Just his light is just shining too, you know.
And rooting for all of us, like
Yep.
as a student, like he still to this day, like still rooting for all of us. And so I
Yeah,
think
he ain't
about,
changed either, you know.
no,
It's still
at
got the
all.
same heart, the same energy. I'm
Right.
like, how you get so much energy? It just keeps going
Just
up and up.
motivated. He loves people. That joker
Right.
loves people.
Yep, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yep.
Loves people. So
Yeah.
just those days at San Jose State, I didn't imagine that I would end up here, of course. I didn't imagine
Nope.
I would end up
Me
in the
neither.
field of social work, because I didn't even know
No.
what it was. Like you, I was in the sociology program, but then even when I got into sociology, they dangled the behavioral science degree in front of me. I was like, well, I can probably do that one too. And so
Yeah.
like did the behavioral science and sociology degree program, got my little
Yep.
degree,
Yep.
and then skedaddled back to San Diego. But I do want to take some time to talk about when we worked at the Mosaic Cross Cultural Center, because
Yes.
that was formative in ways that I didn't even know.
Me neither, Kim. I didn't, like I said, I just it really that job and just that center really changed my life. And I know it changed a lot of people's lives. You know, I feel bad because I really don't know how it's going now, you know. It changed my life, you know. The Mosaic Cross Cultural Center was the first place for me, right? Going to school, it was the first place that I saw like you served everybody, no matter your race, your
Everybody,
gender, your sexual orientation.
your
It
spiritual
didn't matter.
practices,
Your spirituals, it didn't
everybody.
matter. I remember we had people in the back, you know, they would come to the back and
And
pray,
pray,
praying,
get the prayer
right?
mat out and pray. I was like, oh, come back there and
Exactly.
breastfeed. This was back in the early
Everything.
2000s.
Everything was welcome. And it was like this non-judgmental, open place where everybody, and they really, you know, we really wanted everybody to like have a safe and loving educational experience. And so I just, you know, while I was in it at that time, of course, you know, the stuff that we did, the leadership, you know, opportunities that we had, you know, I appreciated, but I think I appreciated much more as an older adult because I look back and I'm like, that was a beautiful thing to see. And it was the first thing that I had seen. You know, I never seen a place like that growing
Me
up in the
either.
city, San Francisco. You know, I never seen a place that was just open to everybody. You serve everybody here and we want you to win type of
Want
thing,
you to
you know?
win.
So it just like it was like I connected so much with the mosaic, and I connected so much with y'all because I'm like, we are all the same. Like we have that same heart, you know? And it was just like a magnetic, you know, and I still think about everybody, you know, who is a Sadika and Hunchu and all of these, just, you know, for giving us that opportunity to work there and Jose, you know. So I appreciate just that opportunity to really open my eyes. And I think that was like planting the seed of like, okay, you need to go on to social work, you know. And of course, like you, after graduation, I went back home, stayed with my mama, you know. And I'm like, what do I do now with this sociology degree? And oh, so yeah, so
Not
it
much
just
of, yeah, not much. The answer is not much.
not much. And I found that out like 6 months after. I'm like,
Not
okay,
much.
let me work and let me figure out what the next plan is. This ain't it, you
At
know?
all. At all. And like even thinking about working at the Mosaic Cross Cultural Center and having the opportunity to do the presentations and the workshops. And I think about the one that I did about the bridge, right? And the suicides. They had that documentary that had
Yes,
came
I
out in
remember
like
that.
08 or 09 or something like that. And they were talking about the Golden
Oh my
Bridge and
God.
like the suicide
Yes.
and like bringing folks in the psychology department, other students to come in and talk about depression and
I
suicidality. I
remember.
don't know what the hell I was. I just knew like I was interested in it. I wanted to talk about it. And they gave me a space to talk about it. You
To
know what I
do it,
mean?
right?
And so just having those type of like small yet impactful experiences as a young person, just trying to form my own identities and thoughts and be able to have a place where my rage can live and be like processed out loud. Sadika always made space for us to talk about anything. No judgment, no
It didn't
nothing. Like
matter.
Sadika just was open to talk about anything.
They
And much like
encourage
you,
it,
and
you know,
encourage it. And
they
then us
encourage
in
you
the
too.
back being able to talk about anything too. Even the folks who are working at the center. I remember, dang, her name is skipping me right now, but it'll come to me. We had that girlfriend, but she lived in Dubai. She lived in the
Oh, I know
UAE,
exactly who you're
and
talking about, and I can't
she worked
remember.
with us on like a, I don't know, like international some ship. But
Yes.
like being able to interact and engage with folks from different cultures, I will never take that for granted. And I know for a fact that my time working at Mosaic and being a student at San Jose State University makes me a better social worker today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I
Because
would
you can't tell me somebody that I ain't come across. Like
you served, you came across all of them there, right?
everybody, everybody. And that's one of the beautiful things about the state of California and being able to be on a campus like San Jose State, which has a very high like Asian population, but even within that, Japanese, very high Japanese population, and then different identities within the Latin communities and cultures. Like you can't, and then being able to be on a campus where you have like a statue of Tommy Smith and John Carlos, you know,
How
like
major
doing the
is that,
Black Power
right?
salute, and how many times we were able to use that as a location of community connection, organizing, movement work as students. Like, yeah, beautiful experience. So, with all of that being said, how did Jotel end up a social worker? How did you get here?
I know, right? So how did I get here? So kind of like I said, so after graduation, I'm like, what do I do with this degree? You know, so and I couldn't really do, like you said, I couldn't really do much with it. And one of the things that really helped me, and you talked about it too, is just like having that tribe of people, right? And so I've always been blessed to have people in my corner that, you know, encourage me, help me out or whatever. So after graduation, I ended up working in HIV education and prevention. I was an HIV counselor. And I'm like, okay, I like this. This is some good work, right? I also took another job doing working in a group home as a residential counselor.
Didn't we all do
Then
that?
we all look and I got my ass beat. That's a
We
whole
all do
nother conversation for another
that?
time. Them kids was off the chain. Like I said, that's another conversation for another day, but you know. So I did that and I'm like, how can I, you know, at that time, I'm like, I really want to stay in the Bay Area. I want to, you know, plant seeds in the Bay Area. I want to, you know, live here, potentially buy a house, but the cost of living is crazy,
Speak
right?
on it.
So again, person in my tribe, I had a couple people that were MSWs and A friend of mine was like, "Hey, you need to go back and get your MSW. Like, the doors are going to open up a little bit more for you when it comes to, your financial stability and whatnot." So I applied for this program. I'm like, "Hey, I'll do it, whatever. I'll go back and get my master's. I need more money, and I wanted to elevate in my profession as well too. The work that I was doing was good work, but I just felt like I wanted more. You know what I'm saying? So I there was always that drive to do more in me and to like, how can I make a difference on another level? But then how can I also pay my bills too? You know
Hell
what
yeah.
I'm saying?
We gotta
So
live.
I gotta live, right? So at the time I have applied for the Title IV. Are you familiar with the Title IV-E program?
I don't think so.
So basically it's a contract with the child welfare, right? So they would pay for your master's education
Yes. But you
and
gotta go work at the local agency.
you got to work at the local
That got
agency.
defunded here in Virginia. Yes.
Oh, it
But
got
now it
defined.
got refunded because they still owe me
Really?
money. See, now you got my
Uh-oh.
trauma trigger activated.
Uh-oh.
Because when I
I didn't
moved
mean
to
it. I didn't mean
Virginia and I had my first year field placement was at social services for the city of Richmond. And that was the
Okay.
first year they took the money out the child. They call it the child welfare stipend program. So we
Got you,
didn't get
got you, got
our
you.
money. They're supposed to give us money.
Oh, so they
Yes.
owe you.
They owe me money.
Oh,
And
now
I
that's.
tell the dean every time I see him, I'll be like, Gary, y'all owe me
I
money.
need my money.
But
For real.
yeah, but title, I got you. So you went
That's
after that.
exactly what it is out here. That's pretty much the same. It's basically they pay for your master's education and then you agree to, work for a child welfare agency. So what I did that 2 years. I'm like, they're gonna pay for me to go to school.
That's smart.
That's a good idea for me. So I did that. And I ended up working there for San Mateo County Children and Family Service. I worked there for 8 years. I did two and ended up staying an extra six.
Wow.
Because I just, you know how it is. You just kind of get stuck somewhere and just,
Wow.
things were kind of working out for me there. And I was trying different units. And so
Yeah.
I'm like, after a while, you know how you feel like a pull, like, it's time to go. It's
Yeah.
and the burnout in that area was just,
That's not normal work.
it was a lot. It was very, very, it just took a lot out of me
Yeah.
during those 8 years.
What
So
you different units were you in? Like, where'd you bounce around?
I worked in the permanency placement unit,
Okay.
which is pretty much like supporting foster youth to find permanent homes. So whether that be group homes, still have my trauma for the group homes, but placing the kids in group homes or placing them in foster homes or adoption, guardianship. So that was my main area. And then I worked in the independent living program.
Okay.
And that was a little different because it just we helped students or excuse me, helped kids learn independent living skills.
Yeah.
And it's actually with through that job, I'm like, I want to do more hands-on individual work with the kids. I was doing more case management. I wanted to do more individual, like self-work. And so that's when I felt like God was just kind of pulling me in another direction. Again, I'm looking for ways to like elevate, financially and professionally. So people were like, go get that
Get that
LCSW.
license.
Go
What's
get
the
that license.
process in California though like? Because I remember it was one of the contributing factors that was like, I'm gonna just go ahead and settle in Virginia. Because I, at the time, I don't know if this is still the case. At the time, California, no, I know it's not the case. At the time, California didn't have reciprocity with like the ASWB exam. They had their own exam as well as a law and
Got
ethics
you.
exam.
Got you,
They
got
just
you, got
started
you.
using the ASWB exam, I think like back in 2015, 16, something
Oh,
like
really?
that.
Okay,
So it was
okay.
like it was in California was the last state that held out on using that exam.
Yeah. Which that exam, I have
We're gonna
a lot
talk
of,
about that
we'll
exam.
talk about that because you need to talk more about that. But
We'll
yeah,
talk
that's.
about that. But so you go after you did the smart route of having somebody else pay for your MSW.
I just
Shout out to
did
you.
that.
Applaud you.
Yeah.
But I like even thinking about your time as a MSW student though, what school did you go to?
So I went to Cal State East Bay.
Okay, Cal State East
Manhattan.
Bay. So
Manhattan.
I, California is beautifully diverse as it is, depending on where you are in California. Social work is still white. So we
Oh,
can't
very much
ignore this
so.
fact.
We can't get
So
away from that. You know,
can't get
you
away from
know the
that fact.
deal with that.
It don't matter what school you in. So even in a place at a place like Cal State East Bay,
Yeah.
when you think about your experience as a black man, like navigating and also a black man with lived experience and work experience coming back to pursue a degree, that's different as well. When you
Yep.
think about your time as a student, what were some of the experiences or lessons, or just like, what the hell is going on in here? did you experience?
That's exactly what you said. What the hell is going on in here? Because there were not many, I could count on one hand the African American men in my program. So it was, that was a, for me, that was like, am I even supposed to be
Am I
here?
supposed to be here?
Maybe this work is not for me, you know? And then, like you said, take the Bay Area, and we're, you know, it's very, Bay Area is very diverse, but we're even more diverse when it comes to, you know, social work. And, you know, and it's not, like I said, it wasn't a lot of people that looked like me in the field. And so I was like, I questioned a lot, and that was a challenge for me of like, is this the work that I'm supposed to be doing, you know? So that was a challenge. And once I kind of got over that and I start, you know, coming into myself and really being staying in my own therapy, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. But that was a challenge of like, you know, trying to figure out where is my place here. And then in school, I feel like it was a lot of textbook. It wasn't a lot of in-person experience. And you can't really teach that in school. And I've heard you talk about that before too. It's like, you know, it's one thing to learn, and of course we need the, you know, to learn and the, you know, the professors and the classes and all that, but we need in-person
That
training,
too.
field training, because what do you do when you have, you know, this little boy or little girl or even adult that's dealing with trauma that's in front of you? And what do you say to them? How do you deal with it? Or
I
a
guess you
client.
pull out a worksheet, right? They tell you pull out a
You pull out a worksheet and you just read from the
worksheet.
script. And I'm like, okay, I'm reading from it. And I'm reading all the right, am I answering the right questions or ask, you know, it was that, well, that was a challenge for me of like, how do I get more experience? And I feel like I didn't have as much as that, you know, in school. And so, you know, there's a lot of trial and error, of course, but
That's a
that was,
challenge though for a lot of social work students and a lot of these social work programs. We hear it all the time,
all the time.
of just students not feeling like they're leaving their programs equipped to do the work. And the truth is, none of us do, because that's not what the program is for. The program is just to give you the basic foundation of the books, the research, theories, but then the actual application of social work practices and principles comes in the field, like when you start doing the work, and depending on what setting you're trying to do that work in. That experience is incredibly common. But I think what's dope though is like this new generation of social work students, they're not with the bullshit. Like they've been pushing back a lot,
Which
like
is
within their
good.
programs.
Which is good.
I love it.
'Cause a lot of that stuff, like you were saying, it goes,
It
it's
goes.
over your head anyway. Like you don't really need that when you're in front of, you know, the communities that you're working with.
You
Really
gotta
that.
have knowledge of it.
Yes,
You
right.
gotta, and depending on who you're talking to, like if you know, if I'm talking to a community organization or an individual who I'm working alongside, I'm not using the textbook language. But if I
At
gotta
all.
talk to like a systems partner, a grantor, a funder, who whatever, then like I'm gonna go into my bag of $80,000 in student debt, and I'm gonna use all that words and shit that I will never pay back, right? Like you just have to
Oh,
be
for
able to
real.
do both.
And that's the thing, is like being able to do both. And I don't feel like, well, and that's like you said, there's a lot of pushback now, which is needed,
I love
because
it.
we out here, we're seeing the real work. And it's like, you know, depending on the area that you're in of this work, you may use the textbook stuff, but you know, where I'm at right now, it's like I'm building on relationship, and then I'm, you know, going off of that.
I
You
use
know,
what works.
I
That's what
use
I
what
be
works. That's
telling. You gotta use what works.
you gotta use what works, exactly, for
You got to
sure.
use what works, and you also have to understand at what point you're not knowledgeable enough in an area, or you're moving in the direction of causing some level of harm. But at the end of the day, like you really just got to end up using what works. And so sometimes that honestly might be humor, that might be a personal story, that might be whatever, but it may not always go back to one of these textbooks, a worksheet, or some screening tool to kind of measure someone's level of depression. But you really do have to figure out, but it's important to have, just all
You
little
gotta
tools in
have
your
it.
toolbox or whatever. But ultimately, you literally got to use what works because everybody is different.
And you said it yourself, like the having it in your toolbox is, you know, when I went to school, I look at it as like, these things I learned, you know, I may use it And I may not, but it's still in my toolbox for if I do need it, I can
Pull
pull
it
it.
out.
That's another thing of why like your tribe and your, you know, your network is so important, which is what got me through school and getting me through and carrying me through now, is that we have each other to kind of feed off of each other. The social work network and group, like you said, we are in a communal people, you know what I'm saying? We help each other out, we support each other, and that's kind of what has helped me to get through the past, and it's carrying me right now, you know what I'm
Carry
saying?
forward.
So
And there's no way to do this work without it,
you
right? And
can't.
so, like, when people try to operate independently in the social work field, I'm like, I don't think you understand the true value of social work. That's not how
No.
this goes.
People really try to operate independently?
They think they can fix the world and solve problems and save people, right? You didn't know that.
I didn't know that. That's really what that's,
People out
yeah,
here
that's.
trying to save everybody by themselves.
You can't do that. That's
That's
it. That's not possible. That's not
not
possible.
possible. That's also not what this work is. And the longer you do
No,
it, and
no.
or the quicker you realize that you're gonna need other people to get it done, is the moment that you're like, put your ego to the side. Like, what we gotta
Got
do to
to.
move people, move this work forward. And so,
Because it's
just
not
think,
about us. You
no,
know,
it's never been
it's not about
about
us.
us.
No.
And if you think it's about you, and if you think you have the answer to every problem or social condition, you got to get up out of here.
Yep.
That's
Absolutely.
not what this work is for about. Like, this work is really about people. It's really about working collectively. It's really about building power collectively, sharing and circulating power through
Absolutely.
information and resource sharing, relationships.
Yep.
But a lot of that stuff doesn't get pushed or taught in school when we're talking about like the foundation of the field of social work. And it rarely talks about like how people contributed to the work, especially Black and Brown folks. And the way you kind of shared in your story of how you ended up in the program at Cal State East Bay, and you look around and you don't see people who look like you. And the wildest part of it is most social workers without the degrees or the
Nope.
titles, they look like us.
Yep.
Like, we've been in this work before this work had a name,
Yeah,
before the work had
absolutely.
like a profession and licensure. We've been in this work.
Been doing it.
Been
Yep.
do, especially up there in the Bay, you're gonna try to tell somebody like the birthplace of the Black Panther Party, Oakland. They ain't
Absolutely.
gonna lost y'all goddamn
Absolutely.
mind. Them ain't nothing but a group of social workers.
Absolutely. And even thinking about the Black church and like it's,
And
come
Black
on, like
ain't
that's what
nothing but a group of
have
social
done.
workers.
That's all it is social work. We're feeding
That's
people, helping people,
it. Doing
supporting
homework,
people,
taking
doing
people to
all
their
of it.
appointments, been doing that.
It's all social work, and it's been happening for years. People haven't gotten the credit, you know, for that, but it's like you said, yeah, it's been happening for years, and
And it gets lost because
it
our like our history is shared orally, right? Like, we sit down and we share stories.
yep, the
And the
storytelling.
yeah, and so like our stories get lost, which means our history gets forgotten about, which is why I love being able to share stories with other Black and Brown
Yeah.
social workers. Because if we're not sharing the stories and the history is not getting passed down, then it gets lost and we get erased.
It's important, and that's even more so why this platform, Kim, is important, because like you said, we got to share our stories with each other. That's the only way that we're gonna pass it down.
That's
People are
it.
gonna see this, they're gonna learn from it, they're gonna, you know, be inspired by it. That's the
That's
whole
the
point,
point.
you know,
That's the
and
point.
we got to keep telling these stories because they're important, you know. We all have a story, so we got to share.
Everybody do. Which I
Yeah.
think is why a lot of us get into this work anyway, because we nosy as hell. And I'm like, oh,
Oh
like
yeah.
what?
Let me
Like,
ask all these questions, right?
tell me more about
Right.
that.
Tell me more.
All right. So you landed in social work by way of going through the Title IV-E program. And so you
Yep.
graduated from Cal State East
Yep.
Bay. You started working in child welfare, and you are an OG veteran. You made
Yeah.
it 8 years.
I made it 8 years,
Bless
right?
it.
Yeah, 8 years.
Bless it.
They wore me out, but I'm like, man, it was like I was saying, it was just my time to go. I just felt the pull of like, get on out of there. And but yeah, 8 years. I look back on it. I mean, you know, looking back, those years went by pretty fast. But it was some rough years. I met some great people during that time too. Again, adding people to my tribe, you know, but it was rough working for CPS. I'm not gonna
Absolutely.
lie.
I think it don't matter where anybody is doing that work. That shit is just rough. And though I think something that goes with working just in a state or local agency or department is you actually learn more intimately and internally how these systems work and about all these different partners and resources, where on the outside of these systems, you may not always get access to that
You
level of
know what?
knowledge. So
Yeah,
talk about
absolutely.
that.
Yeah, just hearing you say that is like it's, you know, the kids that or the families that came into, you know, foster care or the system. Yeah, some families who did not have or who did not have open CPS cases would have never saw some of the resources and supports that these families got. And I saw so much trauma and just the trauma from being removed from your family is just, you know, that stays with you forever. You know, the good part of it is that there's so many different services. Like they were really pushing therapy on these kids and therapy on the family. And we really wanted to see families together. That's what I really liked about my job is that we wanted the families to reunite. Unfortunately, that wasn't always the case. You know, and I worked in San Mateo County. San Mateo County was not very many people of color. You know, the ones that were, you know, it's very disproportionate as far as, you know, African American and Latino coming into the foster care system. So it was a struggle watching that and seeing that. But on the flip side, we did have a lot of support and services for those families to, you know, because it was a very rich county. So we were able to give them services and supports that maybe in other counties they may not have had that opportunity, you know. So but yeah, the trauma that I saw and the all the things that I learned more about AWOL and commercially sexually exploited children, minors. You know, it's like it was wild. The AWOLs, there's so many kids AWOLing and the
So
drugs.
many.
It was like it opened my eyes up to a lot. So I feel like I gained a lot of experience just being here, and it really kind of pushed me to want to go deeper, like I was saying, which is why I wanted to get my LCSW, because I'm like, let me, I want to be a nosy. I want to, you know, want to find out like what's really deep down there that we can kind of tackle, that we can kind of support you with so that you can be, you know, be able to manage your emotions much better. So it was a struggle.
I love that. We're going to talk about your journey towards licensure, but something that you shared made me think of one of the things that continues to frustrate me, because I wasn't in the social welfare or CPS system. I worked in the juvenile legal system for a number of years out here in Richmond, and I would always get pissed off and still get pissed off that somebody has to get in trouble, right, for them to get access to support
I
and
know.
services.
Isn't that
Pisses me
something?
off every single
Isn't that
time, because you're
something?
like, well, what would happen if we move the resource and access further up the stream?
Before, right? How
Before we
about we do it
even
before?
get here, like, I would be
Right.
mad, like, why are we even here? Like, there were
Makes
all these
sense.
different things that we saw that some deterred, like, we could have deterred this a long time ago. How'd we get here? And so I would get really frustrated because folks would be so willing to help once the bad thing happened, once the big bad thing happened. It was like we could have helped a long time ago,
Yeah, to prevent the and even thinking
a
about
long
child
time
abuse,
ago.
it could have been a lot of things put in these different communities to support these families to not get in.
Long time ago.
But I struggled even with my job because I'm like, you know, this is child abuse. Like it, you know, I have questioned myself a lot. Like this is, you know, a lot
This
of
is
things.
neglect. So when did poverty become neglect?
There you go. So you following what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I would be like, this is not neglect, y'all.
Exactly. So it was a lot of things that I didn't really agree with, but it, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but I didn't work in the front end of you know, CPS. Work more after, you know, there was
They
a
were in care and stuff.
they were in care, and but you know, I would see sometimes we would have to, you know, switch around and go to different units for coverage, but it was, yeah, it was just a struggle just seeing that. And I agree with you. If there's more preventative services and supports for these families, a lot of these kids, a lot of these families would have had a different outcome. So, you know what I'm saying?
Money. People need
They
money
would have
in their
had.
household. Like, they need stable housing, stable income, supportive
Absolutely.
attachments and relationships. Like, this shit is not even
Absolutely.
rocket science, but instead, like, we put all the money into systems, organizations, and programs and agencies. We don't put the money into communities. So, like, this is what we
Yep.
continue to get. And so, even though I love the field of social work deeply, I recognize it only exists because people suffer. Like, if
Yep.
people's needs were met, you and I wouldn't be doing this.
At all, right?
You know what I
That's true.
mean? Like, if people's
That's
needs
true.
were met, there would be no need for us. So as long as people are suffering and go without, we're going to continue to feed like a multi-billion dollar industry because people need to have. It's like that mind, it just plays tricks on your mind
It
after a
really
while when you've been in the
does.
work for a long time.
Yeah, it really does. Even like my own personal experiences and seeing my family, like my mom is one of 10 kids, and just seeing the things that my grandmother went through and experienced, and the challenges that my aunts and uncles have gone through. It's like it's hard,
It's
it's
hard.
like it's this cycle of stuff that has been happening for years. I mean, we know this, right? We
We
know, we really know what it's about, right? The
It's hard.
racism is just, and we just see
Everything.
the effects of it. And so it's like this cycle. So like you said, we wouldn't have a job if we didn't have to have all these people to
People
serve.
weren't sick. People are, you got to keep people sick in order for capitalism to keep functioning.
There you
So
go. There you
you're gonna keep
go.
people sick.
There you
You're gonna
go.
keep people sick.
It's
But
unfortunate.
it is, and you and I, nor most of the folks who tune in to listen to this podcast, have the ability to opt out of capitalism. We don't got, I don't have that type of power. You know what I mean? If I did, I would have made my choice a long time ago, but I can't opt out of it. So I do get to decide how I want to participate in capitalism and participate also in what healing looks like. And so even though like all of this shit is horrible and terrible and people are suffering and people are sick, and there are folks like yourself who was like, I want to figure out how I can be a part of somebody's healing journey, right? And what does that look
Absolutely.
like for me? And some they're telling me I need to go pursue this license in order to help people heal.
Yep, pretty
So
much. Yeah, pretty much.
I want to talk about your licensure journey because it is just a shitty experience. It don't matter who you talk to about it. But
It's
let's
very
talk about
stupid.
your journey towards licensure.
Yeah, I still have PTSD from that exam. But leading up to the exam, of course, we had to do, what was it, 3,000 hours or some of
Supervised
practice and
experience
super
and stuff.
all of that, right? So doing that, that part was not as hard. You just do, I'm doing the work that I feel like I'm meant to do, right? But it was studying for that damn test. And it's crazy because I saw I think it was a post of you or somebody on your page or something. They were just saying like how the test is racist. And I agree 100%, the test is racist. And you put a person into, you have somebody come into a racist test, but then you add on this other layer for me who had test anxiety, and I'm like struggling in this, few hours to answer 170 questions. And it was just so hard for me, Kim. And I have to put it out there too, because I think I had reached out to you, or you reached out to me, you asked me how I was doing. And I'm like, I didn't pass, but you offered that encouragement of like, just keep going, let me know if you need anything, and again, I appreciate you doing that and being that support to me during that time, because I was feeling defeated. I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna work for me, but I keep coming back.
How many times did you take it?
I passed on the fourth time,
I'm
so
mad. I just almost I got chill. I'm mad. I'm happy that you did, but God damn, that's a lot of goddamn money and
a
anxiety
lot.
and stress and time
Keep going, keep going.
in order to pass a goddamn test.
In order to pass a
These
test,
people are
and
nuts.
then when you pass it, you're like, oh, I guess I'm worthy now. I'm worthy of being a social worker.
See, and this is why I tell people one of my testing strategies is I had a mantra and I wrote it on the testing board when I got to the site that dumber people have passed. Because it's true.
It's true, it's true.
Because,
It's, I
like,
wish I would have wrote that. That's funny. Yeah,
I
it's
was
true.
like, dumber people have passed this test. Because it's not it doesn't measure your skill set or ability to be a good or
It
effective social
doesn't.
worker. It just meant, like, do you know how to take a test?
And that was, I think, what I had to overcome, is that it was so many different things, right? The fact that the test is racist, but also like, how do you take a test? And I'm not, I've never really been a good test taker.
Same.
And so, I struggled, and I had an anxiety attack the first time I took the damn test.
You're not
Like,
alone
I
in
had
that.
never had an anxiety attack until I took the test. And I'm like, okay, now I understand what people go through with anxiety. Because my heart was just beating, I was sweating, and I just, it felt like my heart was about to pound out of my chest, And It hurt because I had missed it by 1 point the first
Oh
time.
my. Now, I mean, oh my God.
Right. And I'm like, crazy. So I go back, take it again. I missed by like 8 points this time.
Oh
So,
my God.
and then that third time, I'm gonna be real with you, Kim. That third time after I saw Phil, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is gonna work out for me. Maybe I should just try something else. But anyway, I just studied and I kept at it. And what I think happened is I just got better at
That
taking the test.
test.
I just that's really no other way around it. It's like I got better at taking it. So fourth time is the charm for me. And it's crazy, I passed on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
The ultimate Valentine gift. Shit.
I'll always remember that, So anyway, but yeah, that it was a struggle. That test was a struggle. And again, just getting encouragement from you and other people in my tribe of like, and I didn't really tell that many people either. There, honestly,
Same.
you were one of the like few that I told, because I really didn't really want people to give me even more anxiety.
But everyone doesn't understand.
People don't get it. They don't
Oh,
get it.
they don't understand, and they think they're going to offer some level of encouragement when you're struggling, but if you haven't gone through it, you're going to end up saying some shit that's going to piss me off. And so,
Yeah.
like, I know a lot of people that keep it close to their hearts when they're
I didn't
accepting the
tell.
test. They don't tell people. Maybe they tell one person. They might say, hey, I scheduled the exam, but they won't tell what day they scheduled it for. And I get
Yep.
it. Like, those are just some of the strategies that people use to help them stay
Yep.
calm throughout their
Yep.
testing journey and process, because it produces
Yep.
a lot of anxiety, even the physical space.
A lot.
Like the testing centers, I remember going to the testing center. They had to like scan my hand to make sure I was me, check my glasses to make sure I didn't have anything written on my glass, like make me take like head wraps and shit. I was
Oh
like,
yeah.
I thought I was just gonna lock my stuff up. I said, I thought I would just come and take a test.
Right. Checking your pockets. They made me get
Everything, yeah,
my
flip
pockets
stuff out.
out and all
This
of
is
it.
not helping. So I
Right.
remember like blacking out them first 10 minutes. I was sitting there and I was like, oh,
Yeah.
fuck is going on in here? Like, but then I went to my mantra that dumber people have passed.
Dumber people have passed, and that's
I
for real. It's the truth. It's the
was
truth.
like,
And
dumber people have
it
passed
doesn't measure like you as a real,
at all.
I was in my head about the test of like maybe I'm not
That's
meant to
what
do this.
happens. That's what
Maybe
happens.
I'm not a social worker. Maybe I'm not, kind of took me back to when I was in, a grad school and
Yeah.
being one of the only black males. And I'm like, maybe this just isn't,
Yeah.
but all of that stuff is a lie. You just gotta tell yourself, and so that's really what helped me
Changing the
just
thinking. It
changing things.
matters. And having like testing strategies and changing your thinking. So a lot of
Yep.
people go into it with a mindset like you of like, do I belong here? This, that, and the third. Y'all, I literally visualize one of the dumbest therapist social workers I have ever encountered.
Oh.
And I saw her face and I was like, well, if she passed,
I
damn
for sure.
well, I can pass this test.
Yep,
So
I hear
like
you.
I would encourage other social work students when I would talk to them or like supervisees thinking about like testing strategy. We all know at least one licensed social worker where you're just like, you?
Like, how
Huh.
did you
Okay.
get?
Think about that person
Right, for
when you
real.
get down to test, but also think about strategy to get through the test. I remember like helping the coach folks. You have 4 hours, like how you divide those 170 something questions into quadrants to make sure, hey, I know in this first hour I want to get through 65 and like kind of count it out, but make sure you build in a break to go get up, even just like jog in the bathroom, jump around, drink some water, eat a snack, and then
Yep.
come back and finish taking the exam. But you gotta have strategy. Slow down to read the questions because they use
Yep.
some really trick and coded language. First, what would you do first? What would you do
Yeah,
next? What is the
absolutely.
best, right? And so
Yep.
it's just
It's
understanding how to
all
take it.
strategy.
It's
It's
strategy.
all strategy. And I was not good. Or you can like, so what I did too is and it's no shame to anybody that needs an extra. I got an extra hour for the
And you
test.
apply, and some people like yourself, and I know a couple of colleagues, they applied and got the waiver for additional
Yep.
hours. But the ASWB is also known to deny people at high
Really?
rate, yeah, at high rates as well to approve the special
Wow, that's
accommodations.
not cool.
And it's
That's not.
also important to note, like the exam is only administered in English, and so for folks who English is their second language, like you already down bad. And if
Not
they
cool.
don't approve your waiver, then you're really only operating with the same amount of time as like a first English first test
Yeah,
taker.
it's
And
not
so a
right.
lot of disparities inside the examination, which is absolute trash. And I wish California would have held strong and never allowed the ASWB exam to come.
Yes, I know all
Because
that.
they have a process that I think some states are looking at, because as an alternative, y'all still got that ethics exam, like the California law and ethic
Take the
exam.
ethics. So now they have it to where I think you have to pass. Actually, that's the way I did it too. You have to pass the ethics in order to take the
Take the
clinical.
other one, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So some states are looking at a process, because we know the exam is biased and racist and ageist and all this other type
Absolutely.
of shit. And
Absolutely.
so how do we remove it as the only pathway towards clinical licensure? Because at the end of the day, the exam says that it's supposed to measure and regulate and keep the public safe, but no state has the same regulations or laws for the governance of social work practice. And so, isn't it more important to know about the laws and regulations of your particular state where you're gaining
Yes,
licensure and not so much
absolutely.
like this exam, which doesn't do that? And so,
Absolutely.
some states are looking at going to a model like California, where they have a law and ethics exam that is like specific to their state. You study
Yeah.
to know the laws and ethics in your state, and you just do your clinical supervision
And do your, yeah,
and get your hours.
right. We're and doing the work that matters the most of
Right.
like being doing. So what can I do, Kim? Like, what could I do to like, because that test again,
That test is trash.
test is trash. I feel for anybody that has, what can I do to support others? Like, is it
Gotta
like,
share the stories out loud. So your
okay.
story of taking that test 4 times is not unique. I want it to be
Yeah.
unique, but it is not.
Yeah.
Like, I've
Yeah.
heard it several times, but I have heard it publicly, though, is that narrative is not there, especially from folks who look like us.
Yep.
Especially like
Yep.
males, like people
Yep.
like you, being
Yep.
able to openly talk about the challenges with the exam, coupled with the reasons we're seeing a decrease in the workforce, a decrease in like Black practitioners coming into the field. And one of the barriers is the examination. And it's
Yep.
all by design. And I think it's also important,
Yeah.
and it's a part of our history, to recognize that the National Association of Black Social Workers were against this exam from its inception, like back in the 80s. They been said no. They knew this was
Yeah.
going to happen to us.
Was not having it.
They knew it was going to happen to us. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
helping more younger, current, and seasoned practitioners to know the history of examination, that's
Yeah.
going to be key. A lot of people, their imaginations have been stripped from them. Oh, they can't envision. How do you practice? How do you become a therapist without a test? It wasn't always like this, y'all. There's a lot of people who are practicing today who never took that test.
Never took it. Yeah.
Y'all,
That's
it
crazy
wasn't
to.
always like this, y'all.
I wanna
They
talk
need
to one of
help.
those people. Like, let me talk
It
to them.
wasn't always like this.
That's crazy.
Wasn't always like this. And so that's one of the things that you can do and other folks can do is
Yeah.
like being, and it takes like your own journey and process, but like just being more open with the testing experience. Because
Yeah.
even for myself, I did not have any challenges passing the exam. Like, I took the test. I passed the first time, got my little license, started doing therapy. I was like, I don't even like this shit.
Get you. That's a,
And so that's another reason why I'm always down to expose the bullshit, because I did everything right. I got the
yeah.
degree. I went and accumulated my hours. I set for my exam. I passed my exam. Now here I am, 28 years old, trying to be somebody's therapist. What? Just because the test said
Yeah.
I could do it.
Right. Yeah, you can do it. Right. Right.
No, I didn't have enough experience,
Yeah.
but the test said I could do it.
Right.
So that's
Right.
why I like to be honest with folks. Like, that exam don't mean shit. It's
It
about
really
good
isn't.
supervision. Like, that's what makes a true difference. That's what
Yeah,
makes a true
absolutely.
difference. So,
Absolutely.
but shout out to you for sticking it out. And
Yeah.
you shouldn't have had to.
I shouldn't have had to, Kim.
Yeah.
And I still think about it because I just, I consider myself a baby social, I mean, a baby therapist because I just passed the exam last year,
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like
You've
you
been
said,
doing it though.
I've been doing it, and that's what motivates me of like, pull from what you know. Pull, you've been
Yeah.
doing this work, you know this work. And that was another thing, even coming on here and being able to talk about this with you. It's just breaking down barriers in my life of like, No, I'm supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
This work needs us. We're changing lives, we're impacting lives, and that's really what this is
That's what it
about.
is. And we're
That's
not going nowhere. And I need folks to understand we ain't going
nowhere,
the hell
nowhere.
nowhere.
And I want it to continue to grow. Like, we need more black
Yeah.
and brown social workers. Like, it just we need to we need to we need more of us out there. Like,
We
I see
do.
it every day, and these kids, they don't have many options when it comes to therapists in the
I
Bay
know. I
Area.
know.
You know what I'm
I know.
saying?
But you know, we need more quality therapists. And I've shared this a
That
couple
part.
times in different
That part.
circles. Like, people are going and pursuing licensure. And imagine, right, for a moment that, you know, that someone like me, I did all the things right. I got the degree, I got the license. But what if I had my license out here not giving a shit?
Right. And
Right?
there
Like,
people exist. Those people exist. Yep.
there are a lot of people who are out here that have pursued licensure just to become, if it's a content creator, an influencer, they don't give a damn about doing
And
therapy.
don't give a
They just
damn.
want to be
Right.
able to go the route of like, I'm speaking about shit, but what? You ain't worked nowhere. You ain't done
Exactly. For
nothing.
real. That's true.
But there are people out here manipulating the system to their benefit. I'm not knocking it. I only start caring when they start causing harm. It sounds foolish.
Well, it's causing harm because they're putting themselves out there, and it's not being real. Like, I feel like when you're not being real to you owe that. We're in a field where you owe it to yourself and to the community to be a real person, because we're dealing with real issues, real people.
In
And
real time.
if you're being fake, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? So those people canceled.
Can't and
You
we
know
see
what I'm
them,
saying?
right? We see you. We
We
not
see
rocking with
them.
you.
Yep, we see
Like
them all the time.
the social worker is the anti everything. We don't like popular. Ew. Like we want, yeah.
That
Like you
part.
do things by the book. Get away from here. You follow all the
That
rules. What is
part, right? That part.
this?
There's a few rules that I'm like, no, nah, I'm not doing
I only want to
that.
know your rules so I can break
I'm
them.
not
That is the
doing
only reason I follow rules, because I want to understand them so I can break your rules.
Right.
So
That's how
right
it is, though.
now, that is how it is.
That's
So
a true statement right there.
are you doing outpatient full time?
So I'm doing full time. So what I'm doing now is I work at a look, I can't even tell you what I do.
That's all right.
I'm
What
working
social worker
for
really can? I help people. I help people. I listen.
right. I listen all day, every day, and I take a lot of self-care because that's important. But no, I'm at a school district, and I do in individual therapy for elementary, middle, and high school students. So I'm
Let's
working with
go.
I'm working with the little ones. And re in September, I started my private. Well, it's not my private, but I signed for like teletherapy.
Okay.
So I'm doing teletherapy now, and just kind of trying to get my feet wet. And I got five clients there, or excuse me, six clients there, all adults. So just trying to build my
Damn,
practice up.
six clients, and then you got the job with the little
All the
people.
kids. Yep.
Bless it.
I know. I'm working it out, Kim, and it's crazy because like I said, I started in September, and I slowly started to, add a little bit more. And I'm like, okay, this is how life looks. I'm kind of balancing it in a way
Yeah.
that works for me and my life,
Yeah.
so I do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the
Okay.
evening. And Monday through Friday I'm with the little ones.
With the
And so
job.
it's working out, and I'm just kind of, I always, like I said before, I'm always thinking about ways to kind of elevate professionally and,
Yeah.
still staying true to who I am in this work. But, what's going to make me happy? What's going to help me? So thinking about my next move and what I want to do. But where I'm at right now with the therapy, I enjoy it. I like it. I feel like it's something that I've always wanted to do. I'm doing it, and it's been a blessing.
So you brought up something that I think is important to highlight for people who are thinking about just building up a private practice, because we hear a lot of people say they're doing private practice, right? A lot of folks saying that they're doing private practice, but not but, and what rarely is left out of the story is how many people have to build their private practice while also still working a full-time job. I know a lot of people, their process to get into private practice or even deciding if they want to do it or not involves them still working their full-time job, building in like seeing clients in the evenings and on the weekends, and then having to make a determination. Am I going to go all in over here? Am I going to stay like this? Or am I going to leave it alone?
That's
I'm
me right
highlighting this. See? Yep,
now.
I'm
That's
highlighting
me
this
right
because there's a
now.
lot of people who want to get into private practice and want to jump straight into private practice without hearing about the process of going from working at another job to solely working for yourself in private practice.
It's a
Yeah,
lot.
it's a lot.
It's a lot. You're pretty much building your own. If you just do decide to go the private practice route, you're building your own business. And
Yeah.
so there's a lot of things that, that you got to consider and think about. And again, going back to my tribe, I know a few people that are doing private practice. You remember Stacy? She went to San Jose State.
What's the
You
last
remember
name?
Stacy? Anastasia
Oh,
Lachlan? Yeah.
yeah.
So I checked in
She's an
with her.
LMFT, right? But she do
She's
private
an
practice.
LMFT.
Yeah.
Yep. She kind of, she put me on game a little bit. And, there's another social worker I check in with, Glenda. She's a Delta. I'm not sure if, but she actually, I think she graduated
Before.
a year or two before you got there.
Okay.
No, maybe a year, but anyway, it's just, I had to
Yeah.
talk to a lot of people that have done the work and that are doing it, building their own practices. And it's not easy, it's
No.
not easy at all. So I'm learning, and I'm in a space right now where I'm kind of in the middle, and I'm like, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
So I'm good where I'm at right now, but I know that, eventually I may want to take on a few more clients. But again, like you said, it's that extra work of like
A lot.
you're building your own private. You got to ask a lot of questions. You got to do a lot of stuff yourself,
You
So,
got it's a lot of hard work, and I think it's
yep.
okay that we continue to tell people it may not be for you. I know people are romanticizing private practice. Oh, you can get your six figures. You can work for yourself. You can blah 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 blah
They
blah blah.
romanticize
Some people just need to be an employee, and that's okay. Some people just need to
got
go
to know
work
your
at a
lane,
job,
right?
and that is okay. Like a private practice, a business, that is not for
It's not for
everybody.
everyone. Know your lane. Know what lane you need to stay in and be okay with that.
Be
Because
okay with that. You might need to get W-2s every year. Ain't nothing wrong with
nothing wrong with that.
it.
Nothing wrong with that at all, So.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Cool. Well, we talked about the important, well, semi-important social work stuff and your journey and story. I want to talk about what's most important to me, which is hood rat shit. Because I love
Hey,
being able,
good
love,
rat, good rat.
Hey, I love being able to talk about this with just us in this work so that people remember we are humans, fully
Listen,
flawed, fully ratchet, fully just full humans, right? And so,
absolutely.
and you've mentioned it a couple of times, like the self-care piece. And I'm not a
Yes,
big fan of
ma'am.
like the word self-care. I understand the intent behind it. I like to just reframe it as hood rat shit, because that's how I
Hey,
envision
I'm
self.
with it. Hood rat shit.
So like, what
Hood
does,
rat shit.
what does hood rash look like for you? How you be taking care of yourself in that way?
First of all, I love this question, and I'm all about hood rat shit, okay?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like you said, we're human. We are in this field of work where we're having to carry so much weight from what, the community has, and it's a lot on us. So
It's a
the
lot.
hood rat shit is for me. I take my weekends. I do things that I pop in the bottles.
Let's go.
I
Let's
drink it out the
go.
bottle. I
Me
pretend like I'm in a
too.
sexy red video. Hey,
Yeah.
you gotta do that. You gotta do that. You have to do that hood rat shit because this work will take will drown you. And like I was saying, I feel drowned every week.
Yeah.
So on my weekends, oh, please believe I'm taking my weekends. I'm chilling with homies. We going out, we traveling, we having fun, we eating. I love to eat. We doing everything. We turning up. We party hard because we work hard. And that's what hood rat shit looks like to me.
I
And
love it.
you got to do it on purpose
You
too. Like
too.
you got to do it on purpose. Like, oh no, I didn't. Oh no, you got to do something for the month. Do something for the week. Like getting my hair cut, all of that. That's my hood rat shit.
I
So
love
I'm
it.
with it. I'm with it.
And just be like deliberate. I love what you say. Like, you gotta do it on purpose.
You got to do it on
You can't
purpose.
just fall into like celebrating life. You gotta like deliberately choose to celebrate life every damn day. Like, there are small ways that we can go about doing hood rat shit every single day.
Every
And
day, you
that's
got
really
to
one
do
thing
it.
I want to push with like Black people, because me and my friend, like, we talk about this all the time, because we go out, not like turn up out, but it's like be out in the world doing the week. And you, I even see it like in my own family pattern. They wait until the weekend to have a good time or to celebrate or to go out. But when you go out during the week, you'd be like, these people be out every day. It's Tuesday. And they at the happy hour, they
I need
eat
to
like
try that. That actually might help, you know, break up the stress of the week is
they
going
be
out for a
out.
Wednesday turn up or a Wednesday drive. I can't maybe
What
turn up. I'm an
then
old
I
man,
turn
but,
up, me either. I'll go get me a little something to eat, or they might have these little like events in the park and shit. But like
absolutely.
people be out during the week. So even encouraging people to like find ways to be during the week and not always waiting to live on purpose for the weekend. Like we can choose to live
Absolutely.
every single day and we have to. I love that.
And we carry
So
so much on us anyway. We
much.
carry so much on us. It's hard for us, even in the cultures. Like, we don't know how to take breaks
We
sometimes. We just
don't.
so used to, like, I saw my mom and dad work, work, work,
The
work, work, work,
grind.
work, and didn't
The
really know how to take a
grind.
break. So, me, I'm in that generation of like, you got to do it on purpose. You just
Yeah.
have to, you know, because my parents really didn't know how to stop, you know.
Right.
So,
Right.
but
Oh,
yeah.
that will offer me the great transition into my last question for you, because it has everything to do with the idea of taking a break or leaving the field. Right, like people already know my intent and my plan. I'm not doing this shit forever because it's not sustainable work. And so I like to help people continue to dream and imagine a life beyond the field of social work the way they have practiced it, we have practiced it. And so for you, when you think about like when it's all said and done, and you know your time is kind of closing as a social worker the way you have been one, like what are you hoping the legacy is that you leave behind in the field?
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
But it's an important question. I want, well, coming into this field for me was about like my own healing, you know? And that's what I want to kind of leave behind is that people are able to heal. And because I did it, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? I didn't have to be, I didn't have to allow my anger or anxiety or depression take control over me and my future. You know what I'm saying? I was able to get the support and the help that I needed to be able to move forward, you know, and be able to manage my emotions better. So that's what I hope to, you know, to lead. And then other to inspire other African American or people of color that they can do it, you know, and there's opportunities out here for you and you can make a difference, you know. So I just hope to inspire others to do that. And just to know, like, there's hope out there. Like, that's the word, really. It's like hope, you
Yeah.
know? Like,
Yeah.
there's hope to move forward, to find your place in this world. There's room for all of us to really like tap into what we're meant to do, type of thing. So I'm a firm believer to that, of that, and that's kind of what I want to inspire and the legacy I want to leave behind is that, you know, we can do it. We can find our place in the world, type of thing. So,
Yeah. Oh, I love that. We can do it and we can
we can
find
do
our
it.
place in the world. I love
We
that.
can find
I
our
love that.
place.
I
We can
love
find
that.
our place. It's room. You know what I'm saying?
There's
It's
enough.
enough room. You know, everybody
There's
can win. You know what I'm saying? So that's what
enough.
it is.
There's
That's what
enough.
it
I love that. How can the good people get in contact with you if that's through your practice or whatever way you would like to connect with folks if you're open to it?
is. Yeah, I'm open to it. You know, right now people can find me on IG. Actually, this is funny you asked that, because this year I'm just really trying to get more out there and you know, just kind of spread more love.
Yeah.
So Ray and Knight is my IG, what is it, at or handle or whatever
Okay.
is what you
Okay. All
call
right. All
it.
right, OG Millennial, your age is showing.
For real. Is
Your handle is
that
handle. Yeah,
what it's called? Okay. So
it
yeah, their IG, you know, I'm on there, and yeah, that's pretty much the only way to
is.
get
Okay.
in contact with me right now. But you know, you and I will for sure be in contact, because
Absolutely.
I look at you as just, again, a part of my tribe. And again, I just appreciate this opportunity just to chop it up with you. Like,
Yeah.
this is what we need. We need platforms like this to just chop it up. And I hope this is not the last time, because it's just like, you know,
No.
I want to have more conversation and just chop it up with you. So again, I appreciate you just, you know, chopping it up with me today.
Yeah,
You
I
know?
appreciate
So
you for saying yeah, because I only chop it up with people I want to talk to.
okay.
Or else, like, it's just not gonna be good. I had to explain it to
Yes.
somebody. They had reached out to me trying to get. I said, I don't, first of all, I don't know who this is.
Right, like who are
And
you?
I said, without relationship, like, the conversation gonna be whack. I don't know how
Right.
to pretend. What do you want from me?
Right.
It
We want the conversation to be lit. We want it to
gotta
have
be a good conversation. There
oomph
has to
to
be
it.
something there. You know what I'm
Some hood
saying?
rat shit to it,
Gotta,
right?
okay, I don't have time to explain what hood rat shit means to somebody
Yeah,
if we don't
everybody
even.
ain't gonna get it.
Like, move around. But no, I'm grateful that you said yes, because I was like, oh no, like, this conversation needs to happen. I'm mostly interested in how did
Absolutely.
these two students from San Jose State University end up like in the same
Doing
field,
what we're
but
doing,
didn't
right?
even like, I didn't see this. I didn't see
I
this
didn't
when we
either.
were
I didn't
students
either.
there.
But
And
you see
so just
how
to
the
hear your
universe
story.
works?
Yeah, it'd be working. It'd be
It just
working. And
works in a
especially just
way.
as a black man, because far too many of Black men just get erased and forgotten. Their story's just not told or captured.
Yeah.
And so being able to add that, right, to
It's needed.
people's,
It's
it's
needed.
needed. It's
Yep.
needed. And so I'm grateful for you.
So,
Thank you for saying yes, for chopping it
yeah.
up with me.
So anytime, anytime. And like I said, hopefully it's not the last. And I'm
No.
whatever, whatever you reach out to me for, it's gonna be a yes because I just support everything that you're doing. Is good work, and I feel a good energy and a good vibe from it. I'm all about that. Like if it's good energy and good
Yeah.
vibe, you can sign me up. So if it's more hood rat shit that's to come, and you want me to be a part of it, the answer is yes, and I got you. I got you
Gonna
just
talk.
like you had
You
me.
already know what it is. Well, we gonna talk because we got more hood rat shit to do. I'm
And
grateful for you.
I'm ready. I'm ready. For sure.
There's no way you didn't get anything from that, right? You had to. And how wonderfully sweet and endearing is Ray? Oh, couldn't get enough. That was good for my spirit, good for my soul. I'm hopeful, you know, it was good for y'all's as well. The good black word for the week. What is the good black word for the week? What's coming up for me is like, is this battle that I'm in with discipline and shame? And let me see if I can explain this out loud or kind of process it out loud with y'all. It's almost like I be so internally embarrassed and shameful of how much I lack discipline in my personal life compared to my professional life or just my external life, to the point where I'd be like, bitch, what? Like, girl. You know good and well, you know better. You know good and well, you know how to do better. You know good and well that you are better. Or are you? Right? Am I better? I don't really know, but I've really been struggling for a while now with like just discipline in my personal life. I can be reckless in ways that are just not smart. Or healthy or fulfilling for some of the goals or things that I have in mind, to the point where when I do have those bouts of just pure discipline and focus, and I'm deliberate in my actions, my activities, my, you know, my intentions, my movements, my relationships, I can literally feel and see the results of that discipline. But then something kicks in, I'm like, I'm tired of doing that shit, and I'm gonna go do this instead of that. And then like the shame will creep in, and then the undertone voice are like, bitch, do better. Cause what are you is acting wild. And yes, I be talking to myself like that, but it's in a loving way. There's so many ways to say the word bitch, and I be saying it as like a term of endearment to myself. So what it feels like the good black word is for this week is, you know, like a confession. I know this. People who know me in real life know this, but like, I be out here struggling just like any and everybody else. I don't have all my shit together. I'm not sure if I ever want all my shit together, but I do want to prove to myself that I can do hard things because I can. And the hard things that I have in mind are not hard for other people, But they are incredibly hard for me, the same way that I'm likely doing or behaving or performing in ways that other folks might deem hard and they might, you know, be aspiring to achieve. For me, like, I got my own list of hardship that I know I'm able to do when I exercise discipline. And it's gonna reach a point, because it's starting to reach that point, where I'm starting to get annoyed with myself. And I think about when I get annoyed with other people, what do I do, right? Withdraw, retreat, or like confront. Actually, I confront more than I withdraw, retreat. I will confront and they'd be like, bye. But I can't leave myself, you know what I'm saying? So at this point, I gotta confront my own shit. I gotta confront my own shit, get out of my own way, and really understand that I can do hard things. I will do hard things, but like, oh, you need to be more disciplined. And it's gonna start with my mind. I already know that for a fact. So like the good black word ain't clear, it ain't concise, it ain't, you know, no deep Buddha shit. It's really like a thug out here trying to figure this shit out and dealing with this internal struggle of like discipline and shame. So I'm going to continue to sort through it, not on my own, but in community. I'm going to continue to work towards it. And I know that I can do hard things because I'm still standing and I'm standing strong. And I'm thriving in many, many ways. But like, girl, there are some areas where I'd be like, you need to get your shit all the way together. All the way together. So that's all I got, y'all. That's all I got. As you already know what it is, thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for showing up for yourselves. And thank you for showing up for each other. And as always, please remember to take care of your heart so that we can take care of each other, because at the end of the damn day, we are absolutely all we got. Y'all be well, and we will chat next time.